This passage that we have read together brings us one step closer to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has been arrested by his enemies. Why was he arrested? What had he done? Nothing. Nothing. But because he said the truth, he has been tried by the religious authorities. He has been condemned. In the previous chapter, if you were to read the whole of that chapter, you will see this. His condemnation was based on the testimony of false witnesses. They brought people who lied against him, and also erroneous accusations. They said things that they didn't match. The Jews, they sentenced the Lord Jesus to death, and that is where we are headed in this narrative as it unfolds. In this passage, we will see the Lord Jesus rejected by the religious authorities in Israel. We see him rejected by the civil authority of Rome. And ultimately, he's rejected by the people, the common man also. This passage, it reveals to us something of the heart of man. Something of the heart of man. It came to me yesterday as I saw again how the preaching of the gospel, it can cause people to be so angry. And it reminded me of myself and how it made me so angry because I was so self-righteous before. And then my friends told me that I was a sinner and God must punish all sin. And I heard this man swearing and complaining. And yet, because he said that we are destroying his peace. And yet there was a thumping sound of music. And much, much louder than than my preaching. And yet that didn't bother this man. But as he went away, he said, "It is what he's saying I don't like." That's the issue. That's the key. And I was glad about that. I was glad that it wasn't just because of my sounding, my loudness, or my demeanor. But it was the message that offended him. But I pray, and you should pray for that man, that the Lord would convict him. He is a sinner who is lost and needs the Savior. And that's the case for all people. But you see, this passage shows how people can reject the only one in this world who could be said is innocent and pure, perfect. How could people do such a thing? This passage shows that mankind in its natural state is totally depraved in sin. He is capable of intense hatred and evil. It proves us what the scripture says, that the natural man is at enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. It is like a mirror to the human heart. You want to know what is human heart like? Well, read the Bible. And read yourself in the Bible. You see, what is your reaction to it? I remember reading of an African chief. He happened to visit a mission station. And hanging outside of this mission station was a mirror, a small mirror, on a tree next to this mission station. And as this chief happened to look at this mirror, he saw himself. But he didn't think it was him. Because he saw someone, horrible looking man. He saw a man who was horrifying to look upon. He had all kinds of horrific paintings on his face, and his hair was in a certain way that would terrify you. And he was terrified. He said, "Who is this man?" And so he pointed that out. And he pointed to the missionary and he said, "Who is this horrible looking man in the tree?" And he said, "There is no one in the tree. That's just you being reflected from this glass, this mirror." And the African chief couldn't believe it. until he took the mirror in his hand and he couldn't believe it. And he said, I must have this glass. How much will you sell it for? And the missionary said, I don't want to sell it. I want to keep it for myself. But he wouldn't have it and he was getting angry. And so the missionary thought, well, I can't continue in this way or get hurt. So he sold it for a certain price. And this missionary, this chief, he took the mirror and he says, I will never have it making a face at me again. And he threw it down and broke it. This is precisely what the people did to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was like a mirror. And they saw themselves. They saw his holiness and they realized that he is totally different to them. And the message that he brought to them of salvation, it offended them. You see, they were so self-righteous and they could see this sinfulness as they saw Jesus Christ and his holiness. And so they had to break him. They had to shatter him. They didn't want to see themselves in this way anymore. They didn't want to look within themselves. Well, this evening I want to say some things about how the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected. He was rejected by the religious establishment, the priest. He was rejected by Pilate, the Roman authority. And he was rejected by the people. And I want you to remember this. And I want you to ask yourself, in what way do I at all reject the Lord Jesus Christ, his message, who he is? Have I received him? Everyone in this passage rejected the Lord Jesus. Be sure the same isn't true of you. So let's think about this. Let's think about what we have read. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected by the priests. The language of verse 1 that you read, it suggests that these events occurred very early in the morning. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. The word morning translates a word that refers to the time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. or it is the fourth watch of the night. So as soon as dawn begins to break, the chief priests convene all the rulers of Israel to legitimize the decisions that they had already made beforehand during the night. You see, in the previous chapter, you will read about this, that the night before, this is what took place. You just need to read verses 55 to the end. What they said and what they did and what decisions they came to that and how the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. That was an illegal trial. And they knew about that. What they did that night was illegal. So they had to make it legal in their view. And so they had this matter right there in the morning. The trial had to be legal so that they could bring it before the Roman authorities. And we have the wording of what took place recorded for us in Luke's Gospel. He tells us the questions that they asked him. And it was the same as before. They asked him, are you the Son of God? And he said, yes. He said, yes, I am the Son of God. I am, he says in Luke 22, verses 66 onwards. And to the Jews, this confirmed that this man was a blasphemer because he was making himself to be equal with God, and it reaffirmed the sentence of death upon him. But remember, Israel was under Roman domination. And they had allowed great power and freedom for people to be tried. But the religious leaders had no authority to condemn a man to death. That had to be done by the Roman powers. And so that is why they bring the Lord Jesus before Pilate. And what they knew, they knew that they couldn't accuse Jesus of blasphemy. They knew that Pilate would never intervene in some sort of Jewish religious argument. He wouldn't have that. So what they did, they said that, look, he's committing treason. That would work. They changed the charges against him. Oftentimes you see that. People wanting to get their way. They can change things, manipulate things. We can make excuses, my friends. We don't want to feel guilty, and so we can compare ourselves with other people. Don't compare yourself with someone else. Don't compare yourself with me. If you compare yourself with me, you will see yourself as being so good. You find all kinds of faults with me, and then you look at someone else, and then you might feel guilty too, because you find that person is doing better than you in some other things. Don't do that. And what we do as well, we find all kinds of ways. We can judge someone so harshly, but then when it comes to us and our family, I find that to be the case at times. I remember when we didn't have children, how harshly we could judge someone else. So when we have children, my child will not do that. And it is not easy when you have children. But then what you will do, you justify yourself and say, my child does it because he's hungry, he's tired, he's this, he's that. And it seems you forgot about all the things you said 5 years before. But it's trying to manipulate. You change the argument. You change the, you know, and excuse things away. In Luke 23, verse 2, we read this. This is what they said. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is king, Christ a king. So these wicked men knew that this would get Pilate's attention and help them accomplish their evil agenda of putting Christ to death and for him to be crucified. And this teaches us a very important truth. The truth is that man-made religion, false religion, perverted religion has no place for Jesus Christ. Oh, it has place for all kinds of things, and you can throw in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can throw in some verses from the Bible. But really, the Jesus Christ of the Bible has no place in man-made religion. You see, Muslims have a view of religion. Roman Catholics have a real religion. All kinds of Protestants have a view of Jesus Christ. But to talk about the Christ of the Bible and what he has done and the fact that our salvation depends only on him, not on our good works, for many, they can't swallow that truth. It's a hard saying. And to say that salvation is only found in Christ is too hard. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here were these people rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. That early morning, they had no room for him. The Bible is very crystal clear that salvation is not by works. You cannot be right with God by your own good works. If it was the case, so many people try it. So many people do aim, and their intentions are, they are sincere about this, but it does not work with God. It is the same with other things in your day-to-day life. You can try to do something, but if it is wrong, for example, I remember at university when a young student, he was working hard, but the issue was he was trying to do a project, but the issue was he had not read the question. He had not read what he had to do properly. So what he did, even though it was so good, it was not accepted. He got a fail because he did not do what he was asked to do. And that happens in our day-to-day life. And we regret all kinds of things that we have done in the past. But there is one way that the Lord says he will save, not through our good works, but through what has been done. And that's the difference. And it is salvation is received through faith alone in Christ alone. And these things are very clear. A child can understand it. And praise God, the Lord saves children as well, you boys and girls. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to receive him? What is it that you think? Well, I don't believe him yet. I'm not a Christian yet. Why is it you think you're not a Christian yet? What is making you stop coming to him, trusting in him? You answer that. And then deal with that issue. So here were these people. And they rejected the Lord Jesus. The priests, the religious leaders rejected him. And what an opportunity they lost. But then they brought him to King Pilate. And he rejected the Lord Jesus. And there was nothing. He had no reason to reject him. Verses 2 to 5, you read about this. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." Don't you see how many things they are saying against you? Why don't you say anything? But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. When the Lord Jesus arrives before Pilate, is asked again questions. He's accused before King Pilate. And when he is asked the question about who he is and if he is the king of the Jews, then he says, "Thou sayest it." He says, "Thou sayest it." That's interesting. You see, to the Jewish leaders, he had said, "I am." When they said, "Are you the Son of God?" He said, "I am." But to Pilate, he says, "Thou sayest it." That's quite interesting. You have to think about it. It could mean all kinds of things. It could mean something like, "Well, you've got it right. That's who I am. I am the Son of God. I am the King of the Jews." Or he could have meant, "Well, that's for you to decide. That's what you need to decide. Thou sayest it. You say it." Or he could mean something that he has said in the past. He could mean, "Yes, I am the King of the Jews, but I'm not a king in any way you would understand. I'm not an earthly king of the Jews. I have not come to establish a political kingdom for the Jews. My kingdom is not of this world. My authority comes from above and not from you or any man who accuses me. Thou sayest it. I am this sovereign king, heavenly king." Why the difference? Why the difference in response? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ so clear with the Jews, and why was he not so clear with Pilate? You see, the Jews had every reason to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the person that he claimed to be. They had the Old Testament, they had the Hebrew Scriptures with its laws and prophecies that predicted the coming of the Messiah and how He would be born, how He would live, what He would suffer, and so on. The Messiah of Israel, they had all the evidence, but they rejected it. They read things into it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He fulfilled every one of those prophecies to the letter. And this is the amazing fact about who Christ is. He fulfills all of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Not most of them, but all of them, without a doubt. You know, last week I heard from a friend in Germany, and they were having a bookstall, and I was so encouraged by this. And he said, you know, we had two Jewish ladies come, and he has produced this tract for the Jews, and with all the prophecies and the fulfillment of them in Jesus Christ. And these two Jewish girls had never read the Scriptures, but they had great reverence for it. And as they read, they were convicted to heart. And there he said, well, the Messiah has come. Now what should we do? And the man was able to explain to these two girls about salvation and how the Messiah will save them. And he believes that they've come to trust Him. How wonderful that is. That's something the Lord must have been working in them, opening their heart to these things. But the Jews had all the witness before them. But Pilate didn't have all of this information. He was a Gentile and he did not know who the Messiah was to be or who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He had not seen the miracles, nor had he heard the Lord Jesus' words. On that morning, however, Pilate had this meeting with Jesus Christ. He was brought face to face with Jesus Christ. And when he was in that situation, he had to make a decision. He had to see, this is the Son of God. Will I trust Him? I see there is no fault in Him. But will I accept Him? Will I take Him and believe on Him as my Savior too? Or no? There are other things too important for me. Pilate was given an opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal faith relationship. But he didn't take that. What an opportunity lost. You know, my friends, sometimes you can get so discouraged, Christians. You try your best to present Jesus Christ to someone, and yet they reject Him. And you become so discouraged by that. And you think, why? Did I say something wrong? Did I not explain it clearly? Why is that? Well, here was the Son of God face to face with Pilate, and he was rejected. Salvation is the work of God that must be done, but woe to that person who does not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opportunities after opportunities and yet not receive Him. Every time you come to church, every time the Word of God is read, every time you hear the Gospel of Jesus Christ, you're face to face with Him. Every sermon demands a decision. Every sermon demands us, am I to follow this? Or no, am I going to go my way? Just carry on. Little is known about the life of Pilate, but what we find is, soon after he is deposed, Josephus writes, the historian writes of him, and others too, that he caused much trouble. And then he had to leave. He was motivated by lust for power, but at the end everything became dark for him. And many believe that he committed suicide at the end. How this man came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not accept Him. Verse 3 tells us that the Jews, they tried in many ways to accuse Christ. But the Lord stood there in absolute silence. He didn't say a word. If you are accused of something, I'm sure you would say something. I'm sure you try to defend yourself, justify, or say something and say, no, you're wrong. But he kept absolute silence. Why did he do that? Why couldn't he defend himself? Why couldn't he say, get me a Bible and I'll show you? Why couldn't he do that? Why couldn't he do a great miracle before them? He could have sealed their mouths. He could have stopped them talking. Isn't that what he did with some other people? You remember, before the birth of John the Baptist, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, he couldn't speak. The Lord Jesus Christ could stop the mouths of these accusers, but he didn't do that. But he himself remained silent. Why? So that the word of God be fulfilled. Let me read to you the words of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Doesn't say anything. So he openeth not his mouth. It is an amazing thing to watch a sheep that is going to the slaughter. Silent. Not you can't hear it very much. Doesn't say very much. And here in Isaiah it says that this is how Christ was. He was brought to be crucified and he does not open his mouth. He keeps silence. Again, what a fulfillment of that prophecy. And he did that for us poor sinners. He didn't speak for us before all his accusers. What if he did that? If he spoke a word in his own defense, he would have failed as the Savior. But he didn't. But what he does, he speaks to his Father on our behalf. He says, Father, forgive them. On my account, forgive them, Father. That's the love of the Lord Jesus. I thank the Lord for keeping silence on that day before Pilate. But I thank him that he makes intercession for us now. He is not silent now. So he stood there in regal silence. And this amazes Pilate. It says there that in verse 5, so that Pilate marveled. He couldn't understand this. He couldn't understand why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say anything. In some other place, we read in the Gospel of John that in this conversation, Pilate asked the question, and gets into philosophy, and he says, what is truth? And then when he asks this question, he doesn't wait for an answer, and he walks out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, he's bullied into crucifying the Lord Jesus. He allowed these people to manipulate him, to pressurize him, to please them, so that they are content. And he crucified the Son of God. He ignored a clear warning as well from his wife, because in Matthew's Gospel we read that Herodias had said to him that don't have anything to do. Don't do anything with this man. He ignored that the fact that the Jews were lying. He should have understood them. And yet he gave the verdict. Pilate ignored the truth because he wanted to hold on to his position. Is your position so important? Is my position so important to then go and reject what Christ offers to me? No. What a coward was Pilate. That other people and this world and this life was more important to him. He wanted to hold on to all of these things, but he lost it all. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us. That if we try to save our lives, we will lose it. But if we lose our lives for Christ's sake, give it over to Him, die to self, then the Lord Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. I'm afraid that many people act like Pilate in our world today. Not many people have the power or influence and position that Pilate enjoyed, but many are confronted with the truth of the gospel. Who is Jesus Christ? Many are confronted with the Word of God. They receive it. They have the Bible. They hear it. And know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They come face to face with the truth, but they are too afraid to commit to a life of following Jesus Christ. They say, no, it is too strict. Oh, it is too this, it's too that. There's some excuses given. They cling even. Some people say, no, I have to cling to this. I need this. And then they miss eternity. They find themselves in a tragic state in eternity. Some people, they say, well, my life is so bad and I have so much baggage. So many things have gone wrong in my life and I have not been able to do anything right. And so, well, if I come to Jesus Christ, trust Him, but then I won't be able to follow Him. I'll go back to my old life. And they forget that, no, it's Jesus Christ who keeps us. It's Jesus Christ who will give us life. It's a totally new thing. He says that He will, by His Spirit, makes us to be born again. We become a new person, new creature. But the person says, no, I can't do that. So they go off and cling, carry on in sin. In that sense, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like Pilate. Don't be like those religious leaders who were so self-righteous. Don't give to peer pressure, family pressures. Don't be afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be afraid of Him. Who is afraid of Christ? It takes courage to come to the Lord Jesus. It takes courage to admit that you are a sinner. And I appreciate that. It is a natural thing. It takes courage to admit that you are hopeless and helpless and you need to be saved. You know, some people don't want to receive help. Some people, you talk to them and say, well, I don't want to put on people. Oh, I don't want to also let other people know that I'm in need. You know, sometimes people get old. Not sometimes, always people get old. But sometimes, I'm not referring to anyone here, but old people can become quite stubborn. I don't need help. I have my strength. I don't need someone else to come and give me lifts or help me with something. No, I can do it myself. And they feel bad about it. They feel, well, I used to be able to do that 5 years ago, but I'm struggling now. And they find that a difficulty. And then they won't ask for help. They won't call someone. They won't seek someone to help them with something. They feel guilty to put on people. My friends, don't treat the Lord Jesus Christ like that. It's a rejection of Him. When He's offering you help, I say, no, I don't want your help. Don't be like that. You can do that with men, but don't be stubborn about the Lord Jesus Christ, who freely Him offers Himself to you. And He says to you, come to Me, and I will give you rest. Come to Me, and I will save your soul. Come to Me, and you will experience My love even more. There are plenty of people who claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But also I find some who are like Pilate. Because what they do is, again, peer pressure and the things of this world, it affects them so much that they want to please other people, please themselves. They live by their own rules. Some time ago, I heard of a Christian, or someone who said they're Christian, and when some issue was brought up, and then they said, "Well, I don't want to look at the Bible. I'm happy with what I think. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to know what God says." And in that sense, we can reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So much more could be said. But also the people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the powerful people. It wasn't just the religious leaders, those people of influence in society. It wasn't just Pilate. Oh, Pilate had examined the Lord Jesus Christ. He was convinced that he is innocent. But then what about others? What about others? He offers to this crowd of people, and he gives the choice between Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, and Barabbas, a man who had caused insurrection, how he was a murderer. And he says, "Which one do you want? Do you want Barabbas, or do you want the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he thinks the people will choose the peace-loving Jesus Christ over the violent Barabbas. He thought he knew people's minds, but he was wrong. He believed that people will choose the one who had ever done them good and blessed them over the one who had only done evil. But Pilate was wrong. We don't read people's hearts. We cannot. Pilate, as it were, he rolled the dice. And he lost. And so the Jewish leaders had stirred up the crowd to cry out, "Crucify him. We want Barabbas, not Jesus Christ." And so they made their choice. They asked for Barabbas. They said specifically, "Jesus Christ must be crucified." And this went on for a little while. Pilate asked again, and they said, "No, crucify him more vehemently, in a stronger tone." And then Pilate gives in to the will of the people. My friends, each one of us, we face a great and very solemn fact. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was sent to this world by the Father. Why was he sent? Because this world was in need of a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ came fulfilling all the prophecies. He came, and when he fulfilled those things, he then finally fulfilled the prophecy of his death on the cross. The Psalms are filled with the sufferings of Christ. We are even told about the way he would suffer, how his bones were disjointed, how his hands and his feet were nailed to a cross. These things were given in detail in the Word of God. And Jesus Christ fulfilled all of that. Our sins were laid upon him, and the Father punished him. This is something you never read anywhere else. Is this something that no man-made religion would offer? That God himself would come to die for us? But this is what the Scripture says, and it is true. Why would, if this was a lie, why would the 11 apostles would die and give their lives for a lie? Why would they do that? If they already knew that this was fake, it was not true. Yet they all died. And many others who had seen Jesus Christ, they also died. They were scattered. You wouldn't give up your home if you knew that you're following a lie. No. But Jesus Christ had to suffer according to the word of God for us. And you look at that mirror. You look at what the scripture says about you. You look at what the scripture says about your need. You look at what the scripture says about the way of salvation. And then now what will you do? They call that crucify him. That African chief threw the mirror down to break it. What will your response be? Do not break Christ and his message. Do not, by your inaction, by your rejection, by your not receiving Christ, do not say in your heart, I don't care about this. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter to me that Jesus Christ was crucified. The king came. Jesus Christ came to Israel, just like the prophet said that he would. He fulfilled every prophecy. He accomplished everything God said the Messiah would accomplish. Jesus Christ was exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior. He came to his people, and his people rejected him, refused him. And he was also rejected of God, condemned by his Father. Do not reject the Lord Jesus, friends, but receive him. As you receive him, see the new world that is open to you. You have free access to God. You call upon him in Christ's name, and the Lord hears you. You have a great protector and defender. You have in your life a rock that is so stable. You are building then your life upon a great edifice, Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. You have sins forgiven. You have someone who takes you to heaven. You have purpose. You are not going through life aimlessly. You have assurance that if Jesus Christ has died for me, then my life is sure to be in heaven. So much more could be said. But what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father,